to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach in your hearing a time to feast and a time to fast. Jesus and a time to feast and a time to fast. Part one. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 653, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1018, since January the 1st, 2016. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, all of it. It is absolutely mind-boggling and amazing and deep, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor for it. And we thank you, Lord, for what your holy word refers to for a reason: the foolishness of preaching, for there is no other there's no greater form of communication. And we thank you for ordaining it and anointing it down through the years. For without the preaching of the gospel, we would not be saved. And so, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, the one who is preaching and the many who are listening, and forgive us of our sins as Christians, our failures and our faults, and cleanse us from all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, and make us whiter than snow on the inside, and fit us for your use, not only to preach, but to hear and to share with others around the world. And we thank you, Lord, for all of the people who gather in Russia, all of the people who gather around live in France, in Spain, in Kenya, in Ghana, in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Uganda, all of our friends, Lord, in Korea and China and the Philippines who are going through so much right now, particularly our Christian brothers in China who are struggling under great persecution and who are underground and around the world in South America, in Canada, and across these United States. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to lead them to invite others who are lost to gather around a device and to hear the preaching of the gospel through this poor evangelist. And we pray that over 3 million would come to know your Savior, 3 million Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan, the devil, always horrified at the name of Jesus Christ and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Rebuke that nasty devil, Lord, from this place today. From the preaching of your holy gospel, cast out the demons of hell that reside in people who are Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases, and who act very foolishly to try to hinder your gospel from going forward. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all things would be done decently and in order. Surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, as the physician, Jesus came to bring spiritual health to sick sinners. As the bridegroom, he came to give spiritual joy to those who trust in him. And then he said, the Christian life is a feast, not a funeral. And that is so true. However, Jesus did point out there is a time to fast. And I am a big believer that much of the Christian life is about celebration. I am a huge believer in that. I believe God is all about the party and the celebration and not necessarily having a good time, but having joy and peace and deep happiness in your soul. And if you're not careful, if you're like me, you'll find something to celebrate every day. And so those who are truly saved and born again, I do believe they have a spirit of celebration. They have to hold themselves back and, yes, fast sometime, which Jesus connects with mourning. Fasting is connected to mourning. Oftentimes when people are going through a difficult time in life, they're going through a divorce, for example, like Mr. and Mrs. Bezos, unfortunately, are going through today. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how rich you are, you don't even want to eat because it's such a painful burden. So therefore you fast and you don't even call it a fast. You just don't want to eat. You have no desire. Somebody dies. You fast oftentimes. In fact, you have to call, have friends to come over and fix your food for you because you don't even feel like fixing the food for the guests who are coming over. And you don't want anything because you're fasting and you have not called it a fast, but it's connected to mourning. And so because of the sin in our lives as Christians today and in the church, for the devil and the flesh of God's people have moved the church far, far away from its original position in the early church. I don't think the Apostle Paul would recognize the church today if he entered into most churches today, even the so-called conservative evangelical churches. Have backslidden so far there are certain things they used to stand for they don't stand for anymore. And so we have to fast. And I find it interesting, and maybe my oldest son kind of had a hand in it, but I do find it amazing how that even when you're preaching the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it's amazing how God fixes it. And so that things fall on certain days. As many of you know, the Gospelite Society family, Gospelite House of Prayer family worldwide, is starting a 40-day fast today. Now, I know some of us have not started yet. Some of us got to get that last meal in. May God bless you. I understand. And we will start the fast today, however. And I didn't plan this for this fasting series to start. But evidently God did. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as this passage continues, many scholars believe that Jesus is still at the feast that took place after he called Matthew to follow him. So we're continuing down at the pub, if you will, down at the guest house in Germany, down at the speakeasy, or someone's house who had it going on, who sung that song we hear on the Walmart commercials, "Down at My House." Maybe it was a person who owned a nice place. We don't know. Many sinners and publicans are gathered there. We do know. They were coming and going and shaking hands with Jesus and taking selfies and chatting with him. What do you think about this? And so forth. And no doubt asking him questions about, you know, I'm struggling with this. I know it's wrong, Jesus, but maybe you can help me with it. Getting to know Jesus. It is amazing how lost people can connect with Jesus, and certainly better than religious hypocrites and phonies, who, by the way, oftentimes they can see right through. The Pharisees came with their criticism and questions. But Jesus dismissed them with the encouragement to go study the scriptures that they might learn the true nature of God. I'm about mercy and grace and love. Now, the disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus with a question of their own. These were good folk, but just needed, like John the Baptist, a little help in their humanity, their, if you will, their humanness, to understand what's going on. And so they ask a question, why do we And the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not. It seemed like it's just from one party to the next for y'all. We're fasting and our faces are all fixed up, and well, at least the Pharisees' faces are fixed up. We're very sincere about it. But man, y'all are eating and people are calling y'all wine bibbers and so forth. What's going on? What's up? What's up, Lord? What's up? We would like to get into that group. In the Gospels, Jesus is only described as fasting once. And that is when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness. And we know that story. We do not read of the disciples ever fasting in the Gospels. However, Jesus is described as eating, drinking, and feasting with his disciples and others numerous times. In fact, he was accused of being a wine bibber. We all know he made wine at the wedding in Cana. And we all know, if you are going to be honest about it, it was not grape juice, because grape juice could have been made in the backyard. Just get about six or seven women back there stepping on grapes. And obviously Jesus knew the process of wine and fermentation of the grape and all of that, because he touches on it in this passage, which we will deal with later. And so at one point Jesus even defends his disciples who had gotten hungry and picked grain on the Sabbath so they could eat. John MacArthur said that the Old Testament prescribed only one fast, the one on the Day of Atonement. But Jewish tradition had come to require fasting twice a week. I said Jewish tradition. And these disciples, those of John and the Pharisees, were careful to follow that long practice. But why didn't Jesus and his disciples fast as ritually as the Pharisees and other religious groups? Jesus responds to John's disciples in the context of a marriage, pointing out, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Connecting mourning with fasting. And those of you who have been on a fast, you may not be mourning for the right things, but I assure you, some of you, many of us, mourn over the fact that we can't sink our teeth into a chicken leg for a while, and some potato salad and all the good stuff that God has blessed us with in this country called America. I'm reminded of a man saying just last night a coach had given up a $100,000 raise, and he said this commentator said I've never heard of anybody turning down any kind of money, much less six figures. He said, man, I was in Chipotle the other day, and I was going to get me some guac on my little thing, and my salad or my taco or whatever, my burrito. And I was getting ready to pay for that guac, and the lady said, no, that's all right. And he didn't turn that down, which would cost him about $2. And so we all in America love to eat. That's obvious. We love the great food that is available to us at every corner. We love it. Most of us, including moi, we wake up in the morning. First thing we think, we ought to be thinking about the Lord, is what am I going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Be that as it may, there is a time to feast and there is a time to fast. When the Lord is with you, that's not the time to feast. And Jesus made that very clear. I mean, when that's not the time to fast. And Jesus made that very clear. Jesus basically said, I'm here. We're not doing any fasting. We're going to feast and we're going to celebrate. Now, one day when I leave for a while, you can fast, but not while I'm here. And so he used the wedding, and he said, a wedding, ladies and gentlemen, in that day normally lasted 7 days. Now, if you don't understand celebration, you don't understand this. It's very hard to celebrate for one day. Very hard to celebrate for one day. And so the Jews understood this. And when they had a wedding, it was a big deal. The celebration lasted for 7 days and was a time of great celebration and feasting, partying, having a good time. In this context, Jesus is speaking of himself as the groom and his followers as the children, if you will, of the bride chamber. Now, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the children of the bride chamber were friends or companions of the bridegroom or bride, and were usually very numerous. Today we call them the party of the bride or the party of the groom, the entourage. In many cases, the men on the night before the wedding or 2 nights before the wedding, they go out. If they're lost, they go and do some of the most ungodly things together. They party hard. And same thing for the women. It's just the women there, we hope. And I can assure you, it's not just the men there on the men's side. But that's their entourage. That's their wedding party. And for those who are Christians, they do other things. They don't have a man popping out of the cake or a woman popping out of the wedding cake and all kinds of such foolishness if they're truly saved and born again. But they party. That's their thing. I mean, these are the best friends, the best man, the best maid of honor, and all of that. And this is all great fun and great celebration time, especially if the people are young and you don't have any old maids there who are feeling guilty and envious, because they have never been the bride. And we have some folks who never get around to getting married to all of their friends, and goes on for years sometimes, and that's not a happy time for them, but it's a happy time for everybody else. Oftentimes people meet their mate at the wedding. It's a big deal. Any wedding guest might be included in the expression, or anyone who took part in the bridal procession and remained for the wedding feast. With Jesus with them in the present, the disciples had no reason to mourn, because Emmanuel, God, is with us. Although it is likely that they did not fully understand it, they were in communion with God Himself. There's not going to be any fasting when God is there, when Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is with us. When we die and go to heaven, when the second coming takes place, there's going to be a great celebration, a wonderful time of celebration. The party of all time. And I look forward to that day. They awaken each day in the presence of God in the flesh. If they believed that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed, they had no reason to go about what had become a perfunctory, mechanical, and often insincere practice of fasting. By the way, those of us who are starting our fast today, you say, why didn't you start your fast on the first? Because we've learned over the years, nobody's ready to fast on the first, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. People are not even, they're out of pocket, they're all over the place, and everybody's going to eat, including Christians, for the most part. So we start on the 10th, and we do it every year, by the grace of God, and it's not mandatory, you don't have to do it, but there's power in fasting and prayer. If you got some demon-possessed ones in your family, you need to fast and pray. If your marriage is on the rocks, you need to fast and pray. If you have health issues, you need to fast and pray. But if you fast and pray with us, if you make it some type of mechanical, perfunctory, fake ritual, and you're just doing it, and you're not really praying to God and fasting as unto God, then you ought not to do it. Be that as it may, David Guzik said, it wasn't right for Jesus' disciples to imitate the Pharisees in their hypocritical ways. Nor was it right for them to imitate John's disciples in their ministry of humble preparation. They had pure hearts, but they were not to follow John's disciples, because the disciples lived in the experience that John tried to prepare people for. They were with the bridegroom. It's time to feast. But now, with our Lord and Savior sitting at the right hand of God, because of our wicked flesh, our tendency to backslide like the Israelites, our tendency to fall away and forsake God and forsake the first principles, the fundamentals of the faith, prayer and fasting, my beloved, is in order. That's just for us, in light of what's going on in our country, in our neighborhoods. Just yesterday, or the day before yesterday, two daughters, 12 years old for one and 14 years old for the other, age-wise. First of all, they tried to run over their mother with the car. That didn't work. We're told that they killed their mother another way. And it's shocking the whole community, the whole state of Mississippi. It is shocking the whole state of Arkansas. And maybe once everybody hears about it, it will shock the nation. In the words of Mrs. Ruby Gooding, these are praying times, and I would add these are fasting times. So don't let this be a ritual that you feel like you're obligated to do. You're not obligated to do anything. But it is time to fast and pray for our nation as well, with the government in disarray, confusion and lying and dishonesty and other foolishness abounds. If there ever was a time to pray and fast, that time is now. And yes, there should be some mourning going on for people who are experiencing things like this mother who is dead at the hands of her two daughters because they couldn't have their way. The little girl who got killed in Houston, which shocked the nation, and lying on a white man who was not even there. Come to find out, it's two young black men. That's a tragedy as well. Three lives totally lost, gone. If there ever was a time to pray, my beloved, that time is now. If there ever was a time to fast, that time is now. For we're dealing also with a backslidden church. We have churches all over the place now. If you join them, you have to backslide to get into fellowship. You have to compromise the Word of God to get into fellowship. We have churches now that actually promote divorce as a ministry. They call it divorce care. I call it divorce nightmare. And on we can go with that. There was a time that women at least dressed modestly in church. Now they go in yoga pants. And then they wonder why men are constantly hitting on them. Old devils and old dogs hitting on these young ladies because the older ladies have not taught the younger ladies to cover themselves up and not to show their crotch area and show their behinds and their hips, because that's what men are attracted to, and the old women know it. And then they try to sweep it under the rug when one of the virgin young ladies gets raped by one of the men in the church, one of the deacons in the church, one of the pastors, so-called, in the church. They try to sneak it under the rug and lie about it and cover it up. And she's suffering, contemplating suicide because of a lying, phony church. And so there is a time to fast, and that time is now. When Jesus comes back, there won't be any fasting. There will be a party like you've never experienced in your life. And so, beloved, as the angels declared on the night of his birth, that is Jesus Christ, Jesus is coming, herald peace on earth and goodwill to men. Hundreds of years of expectancy and longing were fulfilled that night. And during his 3-year ministry, those who followed Jesus closely lived in harmony with that reality. Christ with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Because the bridegroom was with them, they had no reason to fear, fast, or mourn. One day the bridegroom will be with all of his followers and believers, Christians, sincere Christians, not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense as well. And this time the benefits of his presence will be forever. Amen, somebody. John Rist said, "Arise, sons of the kingdom. The king is drawing nigh. Arise and hail with gladness the ruler from on high. Ye Christians, hasten forth. Your praise and homage bring him. Not else your love is worth. And glad Hosanna sing him. Arise, ye drooping mourners. The King is very near. Away with grief and sorrow. For lo, your help is here. Behold, in many a place we find him our salvation. Through him we receive grace. What blessed consolation. Arise, ye much afflicted. The King is now not far. Rejoice, ye long dejected. Here comes the morning star. The Lord will give you joy, though troubles now distress you. Even death he will destroy, and with comfort he will bless you. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for this message. A time to feast and a time to fast. And Lord, we're living in a time to fast as Christians, as believers. Have mercy and grace upon us as we embark upon another 40 days of fasting and prayer. Help us all to be sincere or not do it at all for Jesus Christ's sake. Help us to line up our sins, break up the fallow ground in our lives, and help us to repent of our sins, to turn away from our evil ways, our backslidden ways, and revive us again, and help us to get back to you, our first love, way back when we first met you so long ago. And we pray that through it all, souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, and the nation would be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation in these last and evil days. These are last and evil days for all of us. Whether the Lord comes back now or 100 years, these are still the last and evil days for you, because you will be dying soon. And I will be dying soon. So understand that you will leave here one way or another. And you need to be prepared. First, accept the fact, if you want to be saved today, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have done wrong. Just humble yourself down and admit. Don't be talking about who, me. Yes, we're talking about you, because there are people who find it hard to admit that they're wrong, that they have sinned. But they have. And they know it. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news. And the saddest aspect of hell to me is that you will be there forever. You will burn forever. You will be tormented forever. You will hear the gnashing of teeth, including yours, forever. weeping and wailing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you know that human beings, authorities use babies crying and people crying and wailing as a tormenting device to get people to come out of a building or to get people to confess to something? Because it's very painful, very destructive, very depressing to hear that all of the time. And you will hear all of that and more in hell. You won't see anybody because it's dark in hell. It's hot in hell. And the fire burns in hell. But you will hear people weeping and wailing because they never trusted Christ as Savior when they had the chance. Today, while the blood is running warm in your veins and the air is in your lungs, and you're in your right mind, you have a chance today. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible promises, God's word promises in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. So, dear friend, if you are willing to believe on Christ, that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and you're willing to pray with me, repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, I'll help you to pray as someone helped me some 40 years ago. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it in your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by dishonesty, by coveting what other people have, lusting after people and things, taking your holy name in vain, putting other people and things before you, which I have made into idols, dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. He has taken all of my sins away, for he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now and help me to repent of my sins. And help me to turn away from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and this is the gospel allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, accepting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be tomorrow if the Lord says the same. God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.